We need some restoration in this world today, don't we? Oh, how many of you long for what we used to say is the good old days? Well, kind of strange that I would begin the message this way when we're going to be talking about a most wicked ruler. But God has in His Word a message for us about a man who was so utterly wicked that everybody thought he was way beyond redemption. Well, I want to ask you a question this morning. Who is the most wicked person you know? Now, wives, don't point at your husband. Husband, don't point at your wives. But who is the most wicked person you know? Who is the person you have the most trouble with? Who is that one person you cannot stand the most? You see him and it's like fingernails on a chalkboard. Who is that person that you know came from a good Christian family, but they themselves live like the devil? Who in your mind is so awful, so destitute, you believe they could never be saved? Let me finding in your Bibles this morning, 2 Chronicles chapter 33. And when you are there, would you please rise as we read about a character that God has in His Word that'll teach us that no matter what state a person is in, they are not beyond salvation. God says to us in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Baalim, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, In Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made, in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not what, church? Would you bow with me in prayer? Oh God, we are that nation today. We are that nation and that church in this world that will not hearken unto the Lord our God. But, oh God, you have given us this account of the life of Manasseh and the nation to teach us that no matter what state a person is in, they are in this life not beyond the reach of the Holy Spirit to be saved. Help us to remember that. Lest we judge too quickly and too harshly and fail to be thy salt and thy light in the midst of the darkness of this present crooked world. Oh, God, would you touch our hearts today as you've not touched our hearts in some time? Lord, would you give us a heart for lost people? Lord, would you give us a hunger and a desire for God in our lives? God, would you transform us? In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. As we come to this text, I cannot help but believe this is where we are in America today, for this text mirrors where we are, what we're going through, what we are experiencing. But brothers and sisters, God wants us to know that King Manasseh was the son of a righteous, godly king. And that righteous, godly king, he had a name, and his name was Hezekiah. And God called King Hezekiah a righteous man because he was a man who was fully and wholly devoted to God. And this just goes to show us what God can do with someone who will be fully and wholly devoted to him. Hezekiah was responsible for some of Judah's most widespread spiritual reforms and the restoration of a nation that had turned away from God. He brought them back to God. Hallelujah. I want you to think about this. For your name to be written positively in God's word would be a most singular honor. To have whole chapters of God's word dedicated to your name and your life story in the Bible is beyond our comprehension. But I want to share with you this morning just a portion of what God had to say about godly King Hezekiah in his word. In 2 Chronicles 29, 2 and 3, we read, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. According to all that David his father had done, he in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. In other words, imagine this, the doors of the house of the Lord have been closed. Can you imagine that? Could you imagine coming to church this morning and finding the doors to the house of the Lord locked? You've come, but you can't get in. Your nation is so run away from God, the people no longer go to the church. But Hezekiah came and he opened the house of the Lord. God said of King Hezekiah, he did that which was right. And as God is examining my life this morning, as God is examining your life this morning, oh yes, friends, church is an examination. You see, God has said his word never goes out void. And so when the word of God goes out, you and I have a responsibility to what God shares with us. And God has called us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. And so, could God say that about us? Could God look down and say, Pastor Don does that which is right in the sight of the Lord. You put your name there. Could God say of you that you are doing right, that which is right in the sight of the Lord? King Hezekiah instituted godly worship in Judah once again. Now he chose not to follow his wicked, hostile to God, father whose name was Ahab, who had married an ungodly sort by the name of Jezebel. And his father Ahab had desecrated the temple. He had set up idol worship in the middle of the temple, and in doing so, he shut down any true worship of the living God. But Hezekiah restored all of that. And God says, and thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you come with all of your heart? Have you come to say, Lord, here I am. Here is all of my heart. I am willing to surrender all to be wholly and fully devoted to you. Lord, have your will and your way in me. That was Hezekiah. And when he gave all of his heart to God, not only did he prosper, but the nation prospered. Now, in this climate that we are living in America, in these United States, King Hezekiah was the kind of leader that we all long for. His reforms changed everything in Judah and turned the people back to God. How many of you sitting here this morning would agree that America needs to turn back to God? Amen? We are where we are because we have turned our backs on God Almighty, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are an arrogant nation. We are a proud nation. We are too proud to pray, too proud to humble ourselves in the sight of Almighty God. But his reforms changed everything and turned the people back to God. At that point in history, friends, there was no one like King Hezekiah. One man among a nation of people. One man who said, I will be fully and wholly devoted to God. And God used him to restore a nation. Just imagine what God could do if this church was wholly and fully devoted to him in Russell County, Virginia. Oh, friend. His life is an example for all of us to follow. His life is an example for all of us, so Almighty God can do with just one person who will say, enough is enough. I am surrendering to God. God, use me. God, mold me. God, shape me. God, help me lead a nation of people who have run amok back to God. Help me to become the kind of godly leader, the spiritual leader. Let my life be a life that is poured out as an offering unto you. And oh, friend, now you've heard me say this before. We are all in the NFL. Somebody said what that is. Not for long. We're all not for long. Our life is but a shadow. We are, the Bible tells us, as the grass that springs up. And because Brother Chris Kaiser cuts the grass around here, I imagine that a grass springs up and Chris mows us down. No, I'm just kidding. But that's what the Bible describes. That's how we are. We're but a shadow. We're but a vapor. What are you going to do with the vapor of life that you have? But like all men, King Hezekiah was there for a season. He was there for a reason. He was there for a time. But then he went the way of all the earth. I'm going the way of all the earth. You're going the way of all the earth. That dial on the clock, tick, 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 tick. The seconds are ticking away. We do not know the day. We do not know the hour. We do know it's coming. Amen? And our text tells us that after he died, his son Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. Now we can rightly assume because of what God said about King Hezekiah that his son Manasseh was raised in a godly home. If you have a godly home and your child is wandering in the world, pay attention this morning. He was diligently taught, raised, I imagine being brought to church, Just like many of us have brought our children to church, he was raised in a godly home. He was taught to follow the commands of God. After all, King Hezekiah was preparing him to ascend to the throne and to be the leader of God's people. But when we read this chapter, we have to ask, what happened? What, Lord, what on earth happened? And isn't it interesting? The Bible does not tell us what happened in the life of Manasseh to deceive him. And where the Bible is silent, we must remain so. But what the Bible does teach us about Manasseh is that he became the most wicked king for 52 years. He reigned over Jerusalem, and much of his reign was pure evil, pure wickedness. He reversed everything his father had instituted. And in doing so, he made Judah more sinful than the pagan nations of that day. And today in America, we have probably, in all of my lifetime, the worst president our nation has ever had. And I can think of only one person in America who is happy, and that is Jimmy Carter, because up until now, people said he was the worst president. But Joe Biden has led America into utter godlessness. Since Joe Biden has been the president of the United States, we have had policies passed that we no longer know what a man and a woman is. They can no longer define a her. We know because we are of God. They don't know. And he has taken us down a path we never should have gone down. He's taken away parents' rights. He has done so much. He has made America the laughingstock of the world. He has made America more sinful, more utterly ungodly than all the pagan nations in this world today. We are a nation that has been given over to policies passed by this administration to every kind of godlessness under the sun. And as bad as his polling numbers are, they are better than that of the vice president. But I want you to remember something this morning. No matter what state a person is in, they are in this life not beyond the reach of the Holy Spirit to be saved. And that's how we need to be praying. I want you to know something this morning. When I tell you the truth of what a politician has done, on the other side of that, I am praying for the salvation of that politician. We need to be praying for the salvation of this administration. They are the ones in charge right now, hopefully not for long, but we need to be praying that God will get a hold of their hearts, that God will change them, and God will change America. It is not God's will for any soul that he has created to perish. You might need to write that down big, tall, put it on the front of your forehead. It is not God's will for any to perish. Listen, none are so bad they can't be saved, and none are so good they need not be saved, for we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of Almighty God. Now, our text gives us a long list instituted by King Manasseh during his reign. During the reign of King Manasseh, he rebuilt the high places of idol worship. He reinstituted the idol sacrifice by raising altars to the Baalim. He made wooden images for all the gods of the host of heaven. He desecrated the temple of God by building altars to foreign gods. He practiced abortion. He sacrificed his children, his own sons, in the Valley of Hinnom. He practiced soothsaying. He practiced consulting with mediums. He practiced sorcery. It's hard to think of a more wicked leader in biblical history than Manasseh. And it's hard to think of a more wicked leader than the one we have right now in America. What happened to Israel then? And what is happening to America right now is heartbreaking. I don't know about you, but I weep for America. I cry for the souls of men who are going down a road of lostness. One day the sheer vanity of what they're chasing is going to come to an end, and the end is going to be hell, and hell is real, friends. There is a fire that burns, and it never goes out, and it is called hell's fire. Just as I believe in heaven, I also believe in hell. Now, there are many today who don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in hell, but I want to assure you they are both real. But thankfully, the story does not end here. And the story of your life, the story of your family's life, the story of your children and your grandchildren's life is not over yet. Hallelujah, praise God. Where there's life, there's hope. And the story of this nation has not been written. The final chapter is not sealed yet. But thankfully, thank you, God, for your amazing patience and your abundant mercies. Oh, God, thank you for your amazing grace. Thankfully, the story does not end. I want you to look with me. God sends Judge Manasseh by sending him the Assyrian army to Jerusalem. God sent a nation of people who were ruthless and wicked to judge a ruthless and wicked king. Time will tell if that's what America is going to have to endure. But friends, the Assyrians perfected the art of terrorism. In their campaigns to take over the known world of their time, they would seize a city for several years and squeeze the life out of it until those leaders surrendered. And then they would execute the nobles of that city by decapitating them. And then upon arriving at the next city, they would catapult the heads of the previous city's nobles over the city's walls to terrorize them into submission. And I pray you have your Bible open here, 2 Chronicles 33. Look with me at verse 11. This is a hard verse to read. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them, let me back up, verse 10, and the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not what church? Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. How many of you realize this was part of God's plan of mercy for Manasseh? The arm of God's judgment has come, but in judgment there is always mercy. And this was part of God's plan of mercy for Manasseh. Instead of torture, instead of execution, instead of decapitation, the Assyrians bound him with chains, they bound him with hooks, and they marched him to Babylon. And Babylon at this time was a vassal state of the Assyrian Empire. And they placed Manasseh in a dungeon in solitary confinement. How many of you have yet to realize that God speaks in a still, small voice? Or is your phone playing too loud? You got the television on. You got so much white noise around you, you've never yet heard the voice of God. How many of you have had to be placed in some kind of a spiritual dungeon before you were willing to listen to God? I don't know. Well, I've asked God, but God hasn't revealed it to me. And I don't know what America and her people may have to endure before she will once again listen to God. But here is what I do know. We have leaders who are not listening to God. We have a nation of people. We have churches on every corner who are not listening to God. We have people in Russell County, Virginia, God's country, who are not listening to God. And God is not going to tolerate our arrogance. God will not tolerate our disobedience forever. God is patient, but there does come a time when his patience will run out, and he will bring down his judgment on this nation for her disobedience and her utter ungodliness and immorality. And I don't know what it's going to take, friend. I have been preaching for 28 years now. I don't know what it is going to take to get people just like us to begin to humble ourselves and listen to God. I don't know what it'll take for this church to listen to God. I don't know what it'll take for the people of the nation of America to listen and obey God, to listen to God and obey his voice. I don't know, do you? But right now, I think we all can agree we are not listening to God. And if we were, do you know what would be happening? Revival the world over. That's how you know whether you're listening to God or not. What's changed in your life in the last week? How has God moved you? Have you drawn closer to God, or is it just the same old thing? You see, if we were listening to God as we should, we would be changed. We would be brighter. We would be like Moses. The glory of God would shine upon our face. We would be walking so close to God. We would be turning away from evil, not seeing how close we could get to it. We'd have no desire to sin. We'd have a desire to obey. We'd hunger and thirst for God. Oh, but right now we're not listening to him. And will God wipe America away, giving us over to another nation? Will God send America into a dungeon of solitary confinement? Which one of those choices would you be praying for? Let's hope it doesn't get to that. Let's learn right now to do what Manasseh did. Look with me. Look with me at verses 12 and 13. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew the Lord, he was God. Did you see that? What's it going to take to see our nation and our church return to God, be revived, be restored, be saved? Humbleness. Great humbleness of heart and of soul and of spirit. When King Manasseh, the Bible tells us, had greatly humbled himself, then God restored him. And he returned him to Jerusalem. And do you know what that once wicked king did? He undid all the evil that he had done. He instituted reforms. He restored the temple. He got rid of all the foreign gods and all of the foreign idols from the temple. He repaired the altar of the Lord, and then he commanded Judah to serve only the Lord God of Israel. And God has said to us, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. How many of you know America is sick? If you don't know it, you better wake up. You're asleep at the wheel of your own life and you don't even know it. If you can live in this current climate, if you can embrace what is going on around you, you're out of your mind. Beyond that, you've no part with God. You need to get restored. You need to get right with God. I find us so full of hope here as the most wicked king in all of the Bible. Think of all the kings that they had. I mean, you mentioned the name Ahab, and people go, oh, he was the wickedest one there ever was. No, he wasn't. His son, his grandson was more wicked than he was. If we want to see America reformed, do you know where it begins? Do you know what the Bible says? When judgment begins, it begins at the house of God. If we want to see America reformed, we better understand it begins with the church. The church is where God's people are. The church needs to be calling on the name of the Lord. The church is who God will use to restore America, because the church belongs to Jesus Christ. And the answers for America are found only in one place. They are found in Jesus Christ and His written word. Listen, I hope your hope for America isn't bound up in the elephant or the donkey. I hope your hope for America is Jesus Christ. Friends, this heartbreaking story of the life of Manasseh is a story of hope for individuals. There is hope for your wayward child. There is hope for your rebellious grandchildren. There is hope for wicked rulers in this world today. There is hope for this present wicked administration. There is hope for the present wicked teacher in your school. There is hope in America today, and that hope is Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the great I Am. And when He speaks, people ought to humble themselves in the sight of Almighty God. If this message illustrates anything at all to our hardened hearts and our stiff necks, it illustrates that all can come, that all can be saved. They can repent. They can be restored. They can be renewed. They can be made new. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. What's needed in America now? What's needed in the church now is godly sorrow. Let us have godly sorrow over the generational sins that have taken place in the lives of families and churches throughout the world, but especially in this church. Let us have godly sorrow for the worst president, the worst administration our nation has ever known. Let us have godly sorrow for the most wicked, most despicable person you know. Let us have godly sorrow for Christian parents whose children and grandchildren have rejected God to this point in their life. Let us have godly sorrow for the gross immorality of our nation that we have fallen into. Let us have godly sorrow for all of those who are trying to put out an ungodly agenda called LGBTQIA+, critical race theory, Marxism, socialism, you name it. We ought to have godly sorrow for sinners who are lost in sin. Let us have godly sorrow for all who are opposed to the righteous King of Heaven. Let us have godly sorrow and earnestly pray for those souls who are not yet saved. Let us be asking God, oh God, let us be your eyes. Give us, God, your heart. Let us be your hands. Let us be your mouth. Let us be your feet. That to go to a nation that is run amok and tell them of the truth that Jesus lives, Jesus saves, He's the King of Kings, He's the Lord of Lords, He's the great I Am, He is the Hallelujah, He is the Amen, He is all, and He is our all in all. Oh, friend, let us have godly sorrow so that we can see the many opportunities we have to be salt and to be light in this world of sin today. Oh, I pray tomorrow when I go out of here that I am a salt and light in Russell County, Virginia. That's what God has called me here. I pray every day I'm salt and light in this church. I pray every day you'd go out and be salt and light in your community, in your home. Oh, how we need the salt and the light of God's word in America today. Let us remember that the life of King Manasseh gives us much hope. No matter what state a person is in this life right now, They are not, hallelujah, they are not beyond God's redemption. They are not beyond the power of the Holy Spirit to bring the conviction of sin. They are not beyond the Holy Spirit to lead them to repentance. They are not beyond everlasting life because the King of Kings died on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood, and that precious blood washes all our sins away. Oh, I was once a sinner lost in sin. Hallelujah, the blood cleanses me. I was once lost, but now I'm found. What about you? And oh, when you're found, you just want to share the joy. Oh, is God good? Hallelujah. We got a great God. We got a wonderful God. He is the King of Kings. He is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my high tower. He is my life. And that ought to be our testimony. That ought to be every one of our testimony. And we ought to be willing to humble ourselves in the sight of Almighty God, and to say, God, up till this point in my life, perhaps maybe I've been holding something back, but Lord, I want to be wholly and fully devoted to you. Lord, up till this point in my life, I knew the plan of salvation, but I was counting on my Christian documents, baptism, church membership to get me into heaven, but I have never crowned you King of life in my heart. I've never allowed you to touch my soul. Oh, maybe you're here this morning and you've never been saved. Today is the day of salvation. Don't be a procrastinator. Don't put it off. There's no guarantee you got it tomorrow. You see, today is the day, isn't it? This is all we have. Do you realize I may never preach another sermon in this church? I hope I get the opportunity to, but I may never have another opportunity. You may never have another opportunity to hear the Word of God. You may be planning on doing some things this afternoon, and you may not get that opportunity because, friend, we are just one step from death, one beat away. As Brother Fletcher likes to say, we're one heartbeat away. We need to be right with God right now. We need to humble ourselves before God right now. If we're living outside this Bible, we need to come and repent. We have a Savior who will forgive us. We have so much to be thankful for. And all who come in humbleness, God will in no wise reject. He receives everybody. What is holding us back today? Do you realize the blessings for our life are just a prayer away? I can't preach it any better. I can't say it any different. I don't know if it was any good or not, and I don't care. I just poured my heart out to God, and that's all that matters. Now it's up to you. Brother Marty, wherever you are, I don't even know the invitational hymn this morning. But as you stand to your feet, if God is calling you to come and pray for this nation, if God is calling you to come and pray for your child, your grandchild, for some lost person, if God is asking something of you, maybe you're not a surrender, would you come and pray this morning? Would you step out? Would you say, God, I want to be holy and fully yours? Brother Marty, would you lead us? You come now.